All right, we're looking this morning at the scriptures found in Colossians chapter 3. Now, last night, as I concluded my message, I concluded it with some verses in Colossians 2. I'd like for you to look at them again. Beginning with verse 9, this was the last words that we dealt with last night. Colossians 2, 9, "For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him. You have all wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption in Christ. You're complete in Him. In Christ we are made sufficient and fit and qualified to inherit with Christ, joint heirs with Christ, eternal glory. You're complete. Nothing needs to be added." That's what the pastor said on the radio this morning. It's all Christ. Plus nothing. And He's the head of all principality and power. He's not only the head of the church, the head of His kingdom. He's the head of all principality and power. He has all power in heaven and earth over all things and all creatures. So we have nothing to fear. Nobody's going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. You just name anything, death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Why? Because He rules. He reigns. All things, over all things. That's the reason you have nothing to fear. He'll accomplish His purpose. Verse 11 says, "In Him," we're complete in Him. And verse 11 says, "In Him you're circumcised, with a circumcision not made with hands, made without hands." That's heart circumcision. That's an operation of God on the heart in which He gives us a new nature, and a new heart, new desires, new motives, new affections. This circumcision is the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And then it says in verse 12, not only complete in Him and circumcised in Him with a new heart and a new nature, but crucified and buried with Him. Crucified with Christ, buried with Him in baptism, and also risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, salvations of God, who raised Him from the dead and who will raise us from the dead. But we're already risen with Christ and seated with Christ in the heavens. Now, chapter 3, verse 1. "If you be one of those who are complete in Christ, had your hearts operated on with the Spirit of God in divine circumcision, who are crucified with Christ, who are buried and risen with Christ, if you then be one of those who are risen with Christ," there's some things to do. There's some things not just expected of us, but some things we want to do. Some things we desire to do. There's a life that we desire to live and a walk we desire to walk. It's like some of the modern young people say, if you're going to talk the talk, you better learn to walk the walk. So that's my message this morning, walking the walk. And it's not just what we're responsible to do, but it's what we want to do. Let me show you that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is what Paul says about duties, Christian duties and Christian responsibilities and the Christian walk. He says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, "For the love of Christ," Christ's love for me, and my love for Him, "it constrains me, it restrains me, and it motivates me. because we thus judge if he died for all, then we were all dead, and that he died for all, that we which live by his grace and power should not henceforth live unto ourselves. That's reasonable, isn't it? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your what? Reasonable service. But that we henceforth live not to ourselves, but unto him who died for us and rose again. So now, that's what we're entering into here in chapter 3 of Colossians. Back there, if you will. Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, crucified, buried, risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. What are those things which are above? Well, I believe you interpret Scripture with Scripture. That's the best. The Scriptures are the best commentary on the Scriptures. So the things which are above are the things we've been blessed with in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. These spiritual blessings are his grace, his mercy, his goodness, his kindness, forgiveness, life eternal. He blessed us with all these spiritual blessings. So seek more of his grace. Grace is the grace that grows. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The apostle said, grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of Christ. The disciples said to the Lord one day, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother? 7 times? Help me to grow. Seek those things which are above, which you have in Christ, but all are imperfect in this flesh, and there needs to be growth. Seek peace. That's what the Scripture says. Seek peace. Pursue peace. Pursue it. Peace in the heart. A peaceful attitude. Peaceful spirit. Peace in my home. Pursue it. Have peace in your home. Peace in your daily work and in your walk. Seek peace. Let me show you that in the Scriptures here in Romans 14. Seek peace. Strive for the unity of the body of Christ. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Listen to this. The kingdom of God, Romans 14, 17, is not meat and drink. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And he that in these things serveth Christ. In what things? In righteousness and peace and joy. He that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God. He's acceptable and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after things that make for peace. Can we do that? And things which don't divide and destroy, but edify one another. That's my responsibility, to seek peace. Seek those things which are above. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Scripture is very strong on this point. Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to Hebrews 12, verse 13. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Lest you hurt someone, some afflicted one, a weak one, a tried one, but rather let it be healed. And follow peace. No man lives to himself. We're not an island. We affect people with whom we come in contact, with whom we live. We affect their lives by what we say, do, and what our actions. So follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man's going to see the Lord now. That's right. seek those things which are above. And thirdly, seek wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's where wisdom comes from. You see, Mr. Spurgeon said one time, there's knowledge and there's wisdom. A fellow can have knowledge, but not much wisdom. And wisdom's the right use of knowledge. He said wisdom and knowledge is like this. Knowledge is the horse. Wisdom's the rider who holds the reins and tells that horse where to go. A man can have knowledge, it's like a horse. He can tear up Jack what he knows. But if he's got some wisdom and knows how to use that knowledge and how to rightfully and scripturally and peacefully and in a way to build, knows how to use that knowledge, he's a wise man. And that's something added now. Turn to 2 Peter 1. We have 2 Peter chapter 1. We have righteousness. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, which He made with His cross. We have the love of God shed abroad in our heart. These are graces that grow. We're perfect in Christ, but very imperfect in this flesh. Somebody used to say all the time, we get old too soon and smart too late, and that's just about the size of it. But it's our own fault, because we haven't taken advantage of what the Word says, taken advantage of the example set for us by our Lord. It says here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, listen, besides this, it's given to us great and precious promises. Let's read verse 4. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of God's divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. But besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. What's virtue? It's excellence of character. It's excellence of behavior. It's excellence of attitude. Add to your virtue knowledge. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Study the Word. Add to your knowledge temperance. What's temperance? Self-control. Temperance is nothing in the world but self-control. That goes for eating, drinking, whatever. Actions. Achievements, ambition, self-control. Add to your self-control patience. Patience with others. Patience. Oh, God, give us patience. A young preacher came to old Brother A.D. Muse one time and said, Brother Muse, he said, I've just been in the ministry a few years and I just need patience. I just need patience with people, with God, with everybody. He said, pray for me that God give me patience. Brother Muse said, well, let's just pray right now. So they got down on their knees. Brother Muse said, Lord, my dear friend here, my young friend, needs patience. I pray you'd give him some trials, hard times, make his road bumpy and rough, deal with him in chastisement and discipline. He said, Brother Muse, hold on here. He said, I didn't ask you to pray for me to have trouble. I want patience. He said, son, trouble produces patience. Tribulation produces patience. Ain't no shortcuts. None. The only way to add to patience is to learn it in the school of affliction. And to your patience, godliness. And to add to your God, add now. And to your godliness, brotherly kindness. Greet each one with a holy kiss. and to brotherly kindness, love. Now, if these things be in you and abound, grow, not stalled at the on the sidetrack. They got a sidetrack where they park these trains and they don't move it. They sit over there. The rest of them are moving on delivering the goods. And they're sitting on that track, rusting. This is abounding. These things be in you and abound. They make you that you shall neither be barren. I don't want to be barren. My Lord came to a tree one day and didn't have any fruit. And he said, destroy it. Cut it down. The man said, Lord, let me dig around it and dung it and do something to it. And see if it'll bear some fruit next year. If it don't, cut her down. If he's not going to produce here, take him on to glory. If he's not going to behave here, take him out of here. That's my prayer. I don't want to be barren. Unfruitful. In the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can a man be barren in the knowledge of Christ? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Paul said, I don't want to preach to others and then be a castaway. Seek grace, faith, love. Seek peace. Seek wisdom and patience and temperance and seek the heavenly country. Seek the heavenly country. Let's look at Hebrews 11 a moment. Hebrews 11, seek the heavenly country. Some of us in here are in the sunset years. And the heavenly country is mighty, mighty close, thankfully. And I like to read about these fellas in Hebrews 11. I call this the Hall of Faith, F-A-I-T-H. Not the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. In verse 13, these all died in faith. Hebrews 11:13, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They were persuaded of them. Convinced, embraced them, confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. This earth is not my home, not my dwelling place, not my kingdom. They that say such things, they declare plainly they seek another country. And truly, if they'd been mindful of the country they came out of, from whence they came, they could have gone back. You can always go back. Christ said to his disciples, will you go away? If you want to. Somebody said, can a man leave Christ? Can if he will. Can if he can. Can if he can. Isn't that right? He can if he can. But they couldn't. They'd seen him. But now they desire a better country, a heavenly country, wherefore God's not ashamed to be called their God. He hath prepared for them a city. Look at my text. If you then be risen with Christ, verse 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's God's purpose for him, to sit at his right hand. He said, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Sit thou on my right hand, and I'll make your enemies your footstool. That's his purpose for Christ. And Tom, that's his purpose for us. Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Right hand of God. Look at verse 2. He says, set your affection on things above. What is affection? The pastor dealt with it. This is singular. That's not plural. If people read that, set your affections. That has to do with passions or thoughts. This is affection. Set your heart, your interest, your concern, your very being on things above. You remember Brother Tom years ago, 10, 12 years ago. Brother Tom was out on a job somewhere. And one of his old friends from high school days, I believe, or somewhere back years ago, came to him and said, Tom, they hadn't seen each other in a long time. And this fellow out of the clear blue said to Brother Tom, Tom, what's the single most important thing in your life right now? Isn't that the way it happened? The single most important thing in your life. Tom said, I'm glad you asked. And he gave him what Paul said over here in Philippians 3. He said in his words, and I'll read it in Paul's words. Listen to Paul. I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowledge, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, by whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung. Listen, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformable to his death, and if I by any means might attain to the resurrection of the dead. That's the single most important thing in a believer's life. Your affection, your desire, your heart, your interest, your concern is on things above, not on things of this earth. Now let me give you something very important here. There are some important and needful things on this earth. I have a responsibility, and I have an interest, and I have a concern for some things. My family. I'm a family person. The church family, as well as my own family, my children, grandchildren. The food, clothing, and shelter that all must have. You have concerns for those very things and for your farms and your jobs and your home. I'm concerned for my country. I pray for my president. I pray for the leaders surrounding him. I have a concern for this country. These things are important to me. And they must be cared for as good stewards. I've got to be a good husband. Keep my family together. And a good father. And set an example for my children. And provide for them. And in care and neatness and all these things. A good steward. But all these things take second place. Our Lord said the Gentiles are concerned, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Seek ye, and here's a vital important word, first the kingdom of God. It didn't say, don't seek food. You've got to. Don't seek a job. You've got to. Don't seek to improve your children's education and benefits and welfare and training. You've got to. But seek first. You see that word? The kingdom of God and his righteousness and these things. If you seek him and know him, you'll be the right kind of daddy. If you seek him and know him, you'll be the right kind of boss, right kind of worker, right kind of teacher. Yeah, you will. If you're walking with the king, you're walking in the right direction. That's the walk, walking with the king. We walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. So seek first the kingdom of God. Let me show you, I want you to turn to this verse, Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. You see, these words are so important. In Matthew 10, verse 37, our Lord says in verse 37, Matthew 10, he that loveth father and mother is not worthy of me. No, he didn't say that. Love your parents. A person that doesn't take care of his parents and care for them denies the faith. It's worse than an infidel. He said, he that loves his father and mother more than me. Key word is more. Isn't it possible? Husbands, love your wives. How?
Fellow said with Brother John Newton, his wife died. It took him about 4 or 5 years to get over it. How he loved her. Somebody said, well, Brother Newton just loved his wife too much. Can a man love his wife too much? Come on now, tell me, can he? Scripture tells me to love her like Christ loved the church. That's a whole bunch, isn't it? That's a whole bunch. As Christ loved the church. But he that loves his wife more than me, now he's on dangerous ground. He's not worthy of me. The word is more. The word is first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God with all your heart. He that loveth his father and mother more than me, he that loves son or daughter more than me, is not worthy of me. Christ is our first love. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So you see, let me show you a scripture a lot of people don't understand. And I don't claim to understand very much, but I do understand this. It has to do, turn to 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. You know, the scripture said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. There are a lot of good things physically and materially God's given us. A lot of good things. Good things. Son and daughters and wives. And finds a good job. Ah, you've been blessed of God. But now what? There's a time. In verse 29, 1 Corinthians 7, this I say, brethren, time's short. It remaineth that those that both they that have wives as though they had none. This thing of my relationship with God is so vital and important. I'm to pursue my relationship with Him as though I didn't even have a wife. It's not what's best concerning God. I can't handle her salvation. It's mine. See what I'm saying? As though you had none. I was standing in the filling station one time with an old preacher down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And this one, I was pastor down there, 1947, 48, 49, 50. And I was talking to this old brother. I forget his name, but he's very outspoken. And a man walked in and the preacher said to him, said, don't you come hear me preach next Sunday? He said, well, called his name. He said, brother, said, I'll talk to my wife about it. He said, you better talk to her. Your religion's in her name anyway. I wouldn't have said that. I'm too young. I'm glad he said it. But that fella needs to forget he's got a wife on those grounds. See what I'm saying? And they that weep as though they wept not. One of the toughest experiences I've ever had is the death of my daughter 5 years ago. But my relationship with God was not changed, but bettered by that experience. They that weep as though they wept not. And when it came time to bury her and preach her funeral, she said, Dad, I'll preach my funeral. How can you do that? By the grace of God, because Christ is more important to me than my beloved daughter. That's right. And it comes a time in our relationship with God when we behave as if we don't have any daughters or sons. Christ is first. And I'm telling you the truth, aren't I, Pastor? This is where this thing is. Seek ye first. These others, there's nothing as precious to a dad as a daughter, except Christ. And that's the truth. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. We have a lot of joys in this life, a lot of sorrows, a lot of joys, but our great joy is coming. It's in Him. And they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world is not abusing it. Friends, the fashion of this world is to pass it away. Don't hang on to it and let it take you with it. Don't let it take you with him. It's fading away. Turn loose. Turn loose. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of earth. Why? Verse 3. You're dead. You're dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm dead. What? Dead to sin? How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I'm dead to the ceremonial law. The law of the Spirit of Christ has delivered me from the law of the flesh. Ceremonial. I'm dead to the Word. Your pastor preached on that this morning. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ by which the world is crucified to me. It's applause. I'm not interested in their applause. And I'm not frightened by their rejection. Are you? I'm not courting their favor, and they don't bother me by their opposition, because I'm dead to the world. There was a preacher's class studying that in one of the universities, in one of the Christian seminaries. A young preacher said, this happened a long time ago, one young preacher said to the teacher, said, what does that mean? We're dead to the world and the world's dead to us. The professor said, well, son, he said, go out there in the graveyard. That brother of ours we buried a few weeks ago. Go out there and stand over his grave and brag on him. Go on out there. Go. He got up and went out there. Came back a little while and the preacher said, professor said, what did he say when you bragged on him? He said, he didn't say anything, he's dead. I didn't move him at all. Now go on up there and say all the mean things you can about him. So he went out there and said the mean things. He came back in, professor said, what did he say? He said, he never said nothing, preacher. He's dead. He said, that's what that means. Dead to the world. The world's dead to me. Not courting their applause or afraid of their rejection. You're dead. Now listen, your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life, your true existence, your true eternal life, your glorious inheritance, your place, your beauty, your future is hid with Christ in God. The best way I can illustrate that is read John 17. Listen, John 17, verse 20. Listen to this. This is our Lord in the great priestly prayer. John 17, 20. Your life is hid. That's the certainty of it. It's hid with Christ in God. Hid with God in Christ. The mystery of it and the security of it. Now watch this. John 17, 20. Our Lord said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, and the world may believe you sent me, and the glory you gave me I've given them, that they may be one as we're one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know thou sent me and you've loved them as you love me. That's what it means to be hid with Christ in God. And the security of it, Christ said, my sheep, hear my voice, I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. No one is able to pluck them out of my hands, and no one's able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Hid with Christ in God. And I'll tell you this, the more, verse 3, you're dead, your life is hid with Christ in God, the more aware we are of our union with Christ, and the more our hearts and minds are set on Him and His eternal kingdom, the less interest, worry, and agitation this world with its passing fancies will have on us. The more I become aware of my union with Christ and the glory and love that I have in Him, the less interest and worry and agitation whatever goes on in this life is going to have on me. So verse 4, let me give you this. So verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, and he shall, you shall appear with him in glory. Death to me is no frightful foe, since I with Christ shall reign. With joy, one day I'll leave this world of woe. For me to die is gain. No more shall sin trouble my soul. All corruption shall be slain, and tides of joy and pleasure over me roll. For me to die is gain. Sorrow for joy I shall exchange, forever free from tears and pain. And on the hills of glory roll, for me to die is gain. Now, there's three words in the next 6 verses I want you to mark. Three words, and I'm going to talk a minute on each one and let you go. The first word is mortify, verse 5, mortify. And the second word, verse 8, is put off, put off. And the third word is verse 10, put on. What is mortify? Let's go back to that one, verse 5. Mortify means to subdue, suppress, deaden. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. These are the fleshly members, sensual, old nature, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked at one time when you lived in them. This is the flesh. We have an old nature. You do, I do. A nature of flesh. And daily it meets with temptation. And daily it's drawn to the desires and appetites of that flesh. It's flesh. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. In the flesh, nobody can please God. And Paul was troubled with that. It's the flesh. And what we have to do is suppress it. Mortify these fleshly members. Subdue them. Suppress them. Deaden them. And don't participate in and read and think about those things that excite the flesh. When we read the Word of God, we're spiritually encouraged. When we read the Word of God, we're spiritually enlightened. When we read the Word of God, we spiritually grow. We think on things above. When we read all the time the writings of men, novels and fiction and newspapers and magazines and internet junk, it has one effect. It doesn't have an effect to draw you to God or to Christ or to love or to peace. Works on that old demon flesh that lives in here. That's right. You feed that monster and he'll get you. That's right. You keep feeding him with this junk and your spiritual man becomes a dwarf and this old flesh just will wear you out. That's just so. And the very fact that we're told to mortify this flesh indicates that we have a problem with it. Paul wouldn't tell me to suppress something if it wasn't bothering me. He wouldn't tell me to deaden something and to suppress it and to subdue it if it wasn't acting up. That's what we're supposed to do. Don't feed this flesh. Don't. The television program, just feed your flesh. Now that's what we're supposed to do. Mortify. Well, I get him mortified today, but tomorrow you mortify him too. And the next day, and the next day. And it'll be with you till God calls you home. You don't stop. Now here's the next verse 8. Put off these. Now these are errors of the Spirit. Paul's been talking about this old flesh. Now he's talking about the Spirit. Put off these, and three of them have to do with the heart, and three of them the tongue. Anger, What is that? Bitterness. That's what he called it over in Ephesians 4:31. Put off bitterness. Bitterness. Put off wrath. Mad. I'm just mad. Put off malice. That's grudges. Believers can't hold grudges. Bitterness and wrath and grudges cannot live where Christ lives. Can't do it now. So put it off. Put it out of your mind. And put off these to the tongue. Blasphemy. Watch how you use the name of God and the word of God and the speak about heavenly things. Be careful. Let your words be few. God's in the heavens. We're on the earth. Filthy communications out of your mouth. You don't need to tell dirty stories. You don't need to listen to them. You don't need to engage in suggestive language and talk. Filthy communications out of your mouth. Out of the same mouth comes blessings and cursings. It ought not to be. And lying. Don't lie to one another. Put off those things. This is called the old man with his deeds. See that? Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds. Put it off. Now the third word, put on. Put on the new man. By God's grace, the new man's renewed, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on the new man. Resolve this day. Resolve. Don't. I preach and have people reason with me. Don't reason with me. This is the Word of God. I wrote a fellow, he wrote me and asked me something. I wrote and told him what the Word of God said. He wrote back and said, I don't agree with you. Don't do that. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. God sent me to tell people the truth. Don't reason with me. Don't argue with me. Don't disagree with me. I'm reading the Word of God. Just do it. Is that right? Just do it. Young man came to see me and talked about divorcing his wife. Both believers. I said, you can't do that. Now you go home. Build your home with your wife. Y'all stay together for the glory of God. For the good of your family. You got no choice. This is God's command. He cried. He said, I'm going to do it. I saw his wife the next Sunday. I said, is he back? She said, no. He didn't pay attention to you. I said, oh, God, kill him. I believe that. God, kill him. Now, if a preacher's preaching himself, that's different. But when he's preaching Christ, they listen to him. Because you hear from God, you'll hear through a preacher. You hear through this word. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not a novice. I've been around a while. I'm getting old now. I'm telling people the truth. And that's so. This is the Word of God. If you got bitterness and wrath and grudges, get them out. Put them on. Put on the new man. Put him on right now. God doesn't command a man to do anything tomorrow. It's the imperative. Move right now. Make it right. I'm in the image. You're in the image of him that created us. And there's neither. Listen to this. A new man has nothing to do with ancestry. Got nothing to do with being a Greek or a Jew. It doesn't have anything to do with religious tradition. It's not circumcision or uncircumcision. Got nothing to do with your past rebellion. You might have been a barbarian, but you're not one now. Got nothing to do with your culture. You might have been a savage. That's a Scythian, a savage. Got nothing to do with your class. You might be a slave or an owner. But I'll tell you what's got something to do with it. Christ is all. That's where this thing settled. It's I want to please him. Glorify him. I want Christ to live in my heart. Don't you? Be a blessing. I want to be a blessing to God's people. And I want you to be a blessing. I tell you the truth. Our Father, thank you for your word. It convicts us. It strips us. Reveals what we are by nature, what we are by birth. what we would be if it wasn't for your grace. But we are your children. Complete in Christ, crucified, buried, risen with Him, seated with Christ in the heavens. And we want to glorify your name. We want to glorify your name. I want to preach the truth. I want to be a blessing to people. Brother Tom wants to be a blessing to the people. Wants to encourage them and edify them and comfort them. And lead them in the way of Christ, the truth of the gospel. Lord, bless us as we preach. Help us. Help us, Lord. Leave us not alone. Keep us out of the flesh. But give us boldness, courage to tell men the truth. And patience, affection, and kindness, and love. But Lord, how important it is for them to hear us. We're the savor, the sweet smell of life unto life, but we're the fragrance of death unto death to those that perish. But we want to be a fragrance of life unto life. And I pray for your people, wherever they are, whomever they are, I pray for them. Lord, help us to mortify this old flesh. Crucify it daily. Help us put off this old man and his deeds. Help us put on the new man, created in righteousness and renewed in knowledge after the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us. Give us the strength and the will and the courage to be what we ought to be for your glory. For Christ's sake, I pray. Amen.